Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Place podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Hey everybody, this is Eric Stahl. Welcome to another Liberty Roundup or Liberty Plays podcast. You decide by the end of this show what it turns out to be. Around the table, directly to my left is...
I'm Donnie Henry. I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
I'm John Phillips. I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Macon County. I'm the LNC Region 6 rep, and I'm currently a candidate for vice president for the Libertarian nomination.
I'm Dana Olson. I am the secretary for the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria, and I am the division director of field operations for the Libertarian Party of Illinois.
My name is Jacob Irish. I'm the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
And as always, Jacob always has the best voice in the podcast.
Always.
Yeah. All right, so the reason we introduced the show the way I did is because the Liberty Roundup was kind of set up as a way to speak about the notes of the show, or the meetings, the monthly meetings, and then the Liberty Place podcast was going to be more opinionated. But we've kind of decided that, first off, it's hard to run two podcasts, and two, maybe we're, for lack of a better word, pussyfooting around people's feelings too much, and maybe we should just get back to the heart of the matter here and just and speak what we feel, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think what we were talking about is that basically, you know, we're always trying to worry about someone's feelings, and that is like the most unlibertarian thing I've ever heard of.
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
And I just think, you know, I've watched over the last year where we've had a lot of infighting in the party, national, state, and not so much locally. We get along pretty well,
yeah,
but
as far as you know,
yeah. but I've seen this happen. But the ultimate thing is that we're all fighting for the same cause. And we all are going to disagree on the best way to do that, and that's okay. So we should fight, we should get over it, and move on. And I think that us trying to censor ourselves, I think it actually hurts that goal.
I think it does, too. I think we tried too hard not to offend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think what we're going to do here tonight, we're going to try and blend everything. We're going to talk about the notes from the May meeting, which was a tremendous meeting.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And then we're going to talk about a few things going on in the news, and we'll talk about the state convention.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. So first thing, the May meeting. And John Phillips is sitting here, so we can go right to John Phillips. That was a great, great, I don't want to call it a speech, because I think it was... Is that even a speech? Is that just...
I don't write speeches. I speak off the cuff all the time.
Yeah. Well, there's some continuity to it, so you obviously have a flow, and you've spoken this stuff before, but, I mean, you went through your grassroots efforts to kind of bring yourself up and where you're at now. It's an amazing story.
Well, it's been a long time coming, and I actually didn't even cover half of my activism, like the hemp thing that's going on right now. I'm sitting here, and I'm still fighting for that, as... Levi announced today that, oh, we've got a new blend that isn't itchy and scratchy. Well, that's been a thing for a long time. Just now Levi is involved in it. But I was flipping out the other day because the state of Illinois is overwhelmed by applications to farm hemp in Illinois. Okay, well, why is there an application?
Good point.
Good question.
Good call.
Yeah, so how did you... I'm looking at Donnie, so you can't see that on the audio show here. But how did we make this arrangement to get John up here?
So I reached out to John. I was a little bit jealous. He went over to the McLean County meeting. So shout out to Steve Cease over there. He made me a little jealous. And I said, you know what? We should get John Phillips, too. And like I said in the meeting, John and I have been kind of two ships in the night. I think we've always had a mutual respect for each
other. Absolutely.
And I've seen all the good things he's doing. And then when I saw that he was there, I said, hey, John, when can I get you up? And he said, well, I'm a little busy right now. He was still campaigning at the time. But then I reached, he said, yeah. And then we were at the convention. He said, hey, why not this month? And I said, why not this month? It was perfect, you know?
It really was perfect. He said, well, meeting's Thursday. I said, I'm free Thursday. I'll be up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a perfect situation.
No, it was a tremendous speech, and I think it was unfortunate we didn't have enough members here in the room to really enjoy it, I think.
Yeah.
Should we record these and let people see these Liberty Talks and things like that, or should we go back to coming to the meetings?
They got to be here.
Okay.
They got to be in this, their butts in the seats, you know.
Jake, you're quiet over there. No
opinion. I am. No, I'm
no, nothing quiet. From Dana?
I'm fine.
All right, some other things that came up in the meeting. We talked a little bit when I walked in, because I came in late. Dana was talking about the social media plan and some roles that we're working on.
That did not happen.
I thought you
I'm
had
sorry.
A sheet with like some roles for people you were going to be asking for volunteers and stuff like that.
Okay. So I was talking about more of chapter development. So I at the state convention, I gave a workshop about chapter development. So I had some proposals, and one that I thought was really would be really effective for our chapter, especially, was creating a task list. So every single month, we're going to pass around a task list, which at the top is just going to say, hey, here's some open positions that are available. And the rest of them are going to be smaller tasks that we kind of need to break apart every single month. So some of them could be just calling your county clerk and saying, hey, what positions are up for re-election? Posting on Facebook of the next business meeting. Like, it's a small thing. It doesn't take too much time, but just actually doing it, just having someone sign that up is a huge thing. It's taken off someone else. So a lot of this is to prevent, burnout, and at the same time divide a lot of the tasks available, and so that people are maybe free to do other things. So a great idea is just writing a task list, figuring out what we're going to do, and trying to get a lot of different volunteers to help out with the different tasks available. The other thing was the SMART goals. So not social media, it's more of the SMART goals. So that was really figuring out, where do we see our chapter moving forward? And, you know, it's a little uncomfortable because you have to actually address the faults of our chapter, of where have we not done very well, because especially, you know, we've had a decrease in membership after the elections, which is, I know that other chapters have had as well. And we want to kind of talk about how we can maybe change that, or what we want to focus on. So what do we see ourselves as being successful in the next year? And a lot of it is again addressing your faults, and it's uncomfortable. It's a weird conversation to have, but it's super beneficial. And you can actually, once you identify the goals of where you want to be, then you can start creating a game plan of how to get there. And that's kind of what I was focusing on tonight.
So let me interrupt for 1 second. She doesn't give herself enough props. My entire county chapter, well, not my entire, all the officers of my county chapter were there at the state convention, and we all got together afterwards and said, we're doing it wrong. And arguably, I have one of the more successful chapters in the state, and her presentation was amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, actually, we're kind of fortunate to have you in our chapter here in Peoria.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you have this conversation, do other groups embrace this thought process?
I would say yes and no, because sometimes, when's the last time you looked at yourself and said, where do I want to be next year, and what am I doing, you know, that could maybe be hurting that?
I look at my failings every day.
Yeah. You look in the mirror and you're
it's
like...
It's in the mirror.
So my hairline is a direct indicator.
All I got to say is I embraced her presentation so much that I approached her about presenting it to National.
Yeah.
That's how much that presentation was amazing.
Very cool. I mean, Dana's done a lot of stuff. She created the whole, basically the Bible for starting a chapter, you know. And speaking
along
of Bible.
Along with Damon Dillon and Kate Nadolski.
Everybody credit. True.
I'm saying those two people. Yeah.
Yeah, they're excellent too. And one of my favorite things, speaking of Bible, is when she said, she said in this presentation, she said, don't hold your chapter meeting in a church. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Do it. Because, and it was a good point, because a lot of people are intimidated by that. A lot of people aren't religious. And even if they are religious, if you hold it a Methodist church, a Catholic may be thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she said it's good to have it at a place. And how many comments have we gotten from people? I love that you can go there, have a beer, have dinner, you know, and do it
that way. And they even talk about, they're like, well, I went to the Republican Party, and they're in this old, stiffy room.
And it has obvious lights, and they're blinking,
and they're like, I'm sitting there, it's after work, it's a long day, and I'm just passing out, like, I'm just trying not to fall asleep. Yeah. It's like, if you have a fun environment, if you have an environment that's neutral, and especially neutral to your demographic.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole thing, too, is that if your demographic is most, like, and your county demographic is mostly young, try to have it in something that maybe attracts them a little bit more. If it's mostly more of an elderly generation, then have something that, like, attracts them. But try to make it universal, so people from every single generation, every single nationality, religion, anything, they feel like they're going to be at least comfortable and welcome in that location. And that's what I was really pushing towards.
Do people, everybody's got their roles of members of the Libertarian Party, and there's certain counties and stuff like that. But do when you go to these meetings and we talk about the people actually participating in the groups, do we talk about the active people in the room? I mean, do they talk about, do people really know how many people are active in their community versus the people who are on the rolls?
Yes. Yes, they do. They definitely know. I mean, my personal chapter, we've got probably 8 people that are active, but we've got 50 people on the rolls. They pay their dues, but they don't show up to the meetings when we have events. Some of them show up. They know who's active.
I guess what I meant to get to on that was, do we see a decline there in the active members? Because the people on the rolls aren't going to change their voting. They're not going to go to the county courthouse and change a Republican or Democrat, likely. But are we seeing less activity from the members?
I mean, I feel like that's something that's really hard to judge.
Yeah.
It's just because you find a lot of active members either for campaigns or for chapters or for campaigns and then also chapters. Mm-hmm. So, like, personally, I became active for the chapter, and then I started getting active in campaigns, but I was always still active with the chapter. What you find a lot is that during election season, people are really active for campaigns, and they're really focused on campaigns, and then they start going to the chapter meetings because of the campaigns. And personally, that's something that I know that, I keep telling chapters this. I'm like, you could do nothing. Just have your meeting at the same time every single month, and you will still gain membership just by having your meeting at the same time every month. Because during big campaigns like the 2020 presidential one, we will gain membership. You're not going to do anything. You will gain membership. But the whole thing is that you don't want it to be revolved around the campaign, because campaigns are just short term. The chapter is long term. The chapter is indefinite. And so that's kind of the problem, is that even though campaigns attract people, you want them to, it's great a way to attract them, but you want them to have a reason to stay. You want them to have a reason to stay until January 2021.
Yeah.
You want them to have a reason to stay until January 2021, not just after the campaign. So that's kind of it's a difficult thing to judge, but at the same time, people come to the party for different reasons. And it's up to you to get them to stay.
I agree 100%. And I just want to piggyback on that, you know, the Republicans and Democrats have the same problem. I mean, people aren't showing up. You know, you've got your grandma and grandpa stuffing envelopes and stuff. They're having the same thing. They don't have a lot of active members. I see that we would probably rival a Republican meeting, you know. But that being said, they have the money when the campaign starts to send out mailers, to do all the things that we can't do. So we need the active members to pull off what we did with Brandon, so that when we do a walking party, instead of having 8 people, we have 25 people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how we win. And that's the model that we have to follow. And that's why it's so important that we continue down Dana's path of growing our membership.
Yeah.
What I see is that people embrace causes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a campaign is a cause. Sometimes the food drive is a cause. Sometimes legalizing marijuana is a cause. But they embrace causes, and they will work for that cause. And so if you keep them working a cause, they stay active. But if you just, you know, but for the day-to-day activities of the chapter, you know, okay, who's going to take notes every time, who's going to be the secretary, things like that. Those are a little harder long-term commitments for some people, and so you have to keep them involved in those causes.
Yeah, and let me do the first controversial statement of the night. But I just want to say, though, what John's saying is that when you have campaigns that are one-issue campaigns, you know, we had our governor candidate that was a parental rights activist. When you do that, and now you're no longer involved actively in the parental rights scene, you lose those parental rights activists.
Yeah. If you don't stay involved in that cause. Yeah. I mean, and we should be involved in those causes.
We should
be involved in those causes all the time, because those are liberty causes.
They are, but it's not in the forefront of the liberty. And maybe it should be, but at the end of the day, that's not the sexy issue.
No,
you know, and it's not going to bring people to our party that aren't part of that activist cause, and we don't do enough for it, so that's where we are. You know?
So I think the takeaway from this is it's awesome to know that the party actively is aware of this situation, and you guys are trying to combat that. So I think that says a lot.
And I'll say, as two, and you know, from one chair to another, from pretty good, pretty solid chapters, let's just say it, great chapters, I think that there's so much that we can take away from that.
Oh, absolutely.
And to make ourselves better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, my chapter came to me afterwards and said, we're not doing enough. We need to do more. And, you know, I won an award last year for outstanding activism, and my chapter's coming to me going, we're not doing enough because of what Dana said.
But I think you and I both have the mentality that that's fine.
That's fine. I'm okay
totally
with that. I'm totally okay with that. Let's do more.
Yep.
Now, that two great chapters, was that controversial statement number two?
Is it? No.
No.
Two best chapters?
Two best.
No. That's controversial.
That's true.
All right.
Sorry, Steve.
I think that pretty much rounds up the meeting. I didn't catch a Liberty Talk. What was it?
It was about wrapping up the convention. We had some amazing speakers. I won't go too crazy.
That's what we're going to next in this conversation.
Oh, let's
do
it then.
Everybody at this table but myself was at the convention last week. It was held in Bloomington, Illinois. And sounds like a pretty good time. So fill me in. What happened?
So we had a bunch of speakers. We had the candidates talk Friday night, Libertarian Jeopardy. We had on Saturday, we had Lily Tang Williams. She was a communist China in the Mao regime. She was part of that. Finally made her way out. Was in school. She filed, somebody smuggled in a Declaration of Independence.
Constitution.
Was it the preamble? And so they smuggled that in, and it changed her life. She's
That's
like,
cool.
I got to get to this country. Amazing story. We had Jason Spires, our very own Jason Spires. He had the entire room in tears.
Activist of the Year?
He won Activist of the Year.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Well deserved.
Absolutely.
100%.
We had Laura Ebke. She was the senator from Nebraska. Amazing talk about unity and bringing people to party and not running them off. Preach, right? I even told her, I said, I was about to say preach a couple times in the thing. And then also we had Maggie McNeil. She's an actual sex worker that advocates for legalized sex work. That's controversial, but when you really hear her talk, it's very legitimate. I mean, it's about not only just the welfare of those people and making it a better thing, but that government's overreach is just unbearable, you know. So what do you guys think of the speakers?
Well, as I said earlier, when the government overreach happens, people die.
People die, exactly.
Yeah, it goes back to your abortion conversation during tonight's meeting.
Yeah.
Anybody else? I think you've mentioned it. Jason had the whole room in tears. I don't think there's a person in that room that wasn't thinking of their dad in that moment.
Oh,
my God.
Absolutely.
It was overwhelming in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, you know what really got me is when he was like, he's told the story even before that where he's like, well, you know, it's like one of the first days he was in prison, and he was he kept going down the line, or like this lady kept going down the line, and they go, well, you got a sentence for like a second degree murder, and this other person got a sentence for like a sexual assault or like a rape conviction, and they're going down and telling them, if you do this for good behavior, and like you can get time off your sentence for good behavior, and they skipped over him, and then he goes after, he's like, excuse me, like, what is there anything I can do for good behavior so I can get some time off? He's like, no, actually, you're a class X felon, therefore you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do to get off for good behavior. And what was he doing? He was selling drugs. That's what he was doing.
He was transporting marijuana, wasn't he?
He didn't sexually assault anybody. Yeah. He didn't murder or like contribute into any murder or taking of anyone's life. It was a non-violent crime. It was a non-violent crime. And he got classified as a Class X felon. And a lot of his speech had to do with was, what does a Class X felon mean? It means that when your father dies, you can't go to his funeral. That's what that means. It means that you can't get any time off your sentence for good behavior. But you know what? Someone that raped someone else, someone that committed heinous, like horrible crimes against another person, violent crimes, ended someone's life, they can get their sentence. They can get time off their sentence for good behavior. And that is just so horrible. Like, I just am so disgusted by that.
Here's a personal story regarding him. This is that the sheriff that arrested him, because he got arrested, he lived in my where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The sheriff that arrested him just got beat by one vote. The district attorney that was against him is not running for re-election because the state hammered him on their review. And I would just like to say that Jim Root and Jay Scott, you can suck it. There's your controversial statement of the night.
Number three. And a lot of that is, I'll bet you, Jason's story is a reflection upon their idiocy. I mean, we're having a war on a plant. We're destroying people's lives. And quite frankly, it's against everything that this country stands for.
Absolutely.
So it's time that we change that. It's time that we restore freedom. And at the end of the day, what is it all about, Dana?
It's all about freedom.
It's all about freedom.
Dave Smith.
And one last thing with Jason's speech, he made sure to point out that he's not the anomaly. And then he named people that are still in very similar things. He's right. He's not an anomaly. So,
and politicians think he is, though.
Yeah. Yes,
and that's
they think like
those things.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. You're very unlucky. No, it's rampant.
Yeah. I loved when he said one more thing, John. Is that I loved when he said that Democrats are supposed to be about forgiveness, second chances, and every Democrat that he went to ask for a pardon said, "Oh no, I can't do that." So they're supposed to be for these things, but when push comes to shove, they're not. And we know that.
I don't need to say anything else because you just said it.
Okay, all right, perfect. Great minds think alike, right?
One thing I did see on the Facebook feed from the convention was they changed an award to the Lex Green Award.
Yeah. So actually, I'm pretty proud that I was the last Chair's Choice Award from Lex Green himself.
Okay.
And they actually made that award the Lex Green Award. If you guys don't know Lex Green, one of the greatest men that I know. He's the Harry Brown of the state of Illinois.
Absolutely.
You know, so amazing award, and now that has a name to it, I think it just makes it all that more special.
It was a great change.
Yeah.
I thought...
Good job, Bennett.
Yes. Yeah. It was a great change, the name, for sure.
100% support for that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anything else that you mentioned I missed?
Just a lot of liberty, a lot of love for liberty. And I'll say this, that, you know, we talked about the controversy and how there's been some beef. And I know there's been some bullshit where people are quitting because this and then drama, this, that. Fine, go. Good riddance. I mean, at this point, I'd rather us move forward as a united front. If you want to be part of this movement.
You don't want to think about it and dwell on it about it?
No, I want us to move forward as a party that's united. And we all have differences, but let's move forward. But it was a great convention where I felt like we were united in a cause, and I think it's going to carry us into 2020, and we're going to kick some ass, take some names, and who knows, maybe we'll win the White House in 2020, you know. But it was a good convention.
It was absolutely fantastic convention, and I have been to several lately, and it was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just want to say this one thing is that, you know, one of the reasons that I love the Libertarian Party is because this classic example is abortion. Because when you're talking about abortion, the platform is everyone has their own ideas, but the government shouldn't be involved in it. Everyone should be able to make their own personal decision about what they believe when life begins. But government should not be involved. The state should not be involved. And I feel like regardless of your religious background, regardless of like your personal beliefs, everyone can agree that the government should not be involved. And that's what I think is a really great platform for the Libertarian Party. Every single time, it's like, I can disagree on something morally with somebody, but at the end of the day, we always agree that the state should not be involved. The state should not dictate people's rights. The state should not dictate how people should live their lives.
If we message that properly, we cannot lose.
And why?
Yes.
Because when government gets involved, people die.
That is like this new saying that we're just going to keep repeating.
Thank you.
You bet, John.
John Phillips for vice president.
What was your other quote that everybody was saying?
Get government out of the way.
Love it. All right. Going to state news, so there's some talk now about legalizing marijuana in the state, Donnie. So, this is not our big platform.
It's not.
I will put that out there right now.
So, and I made a post on 420 to just make it clear, you know, because that's a big marijuana smoker's holiday. I don't smoke weed, by the way. Most of us don't.
I don't either.
But some people do, and that's fine. That's your choice. But I post on there that we don't support the use of drugs. We don't support using cannabis. We support freedom. And that's a big distinguish. But what's going on in Illinois is that J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats are trying to legalize cannabis. And I think that overall that's a good thing. I mean, there's different ways you can do it.
Well, that was one of his big platforms.
Yep. And so one of the things that we agree on.
And taxing us to death.
We didn't agree on
done.
That.
Yeah. He took care of that all right.
Yeah, I got that one.
But I think that the big question is that, you know, how we do it. But that either way, anytime you get to more freedom is a better thing, right?
Absolutely.
So, but I'm sitting there at work the other day, and I hear on the news that the vice president of the NAACP is up there, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what they have to say about that. Drug wars destroyed the black community. It's inherently racist. Lots of bad things came from it.
But they were standing on the podium with, like, the Illinois Sheriff's Association somebody else. You had to second guess why they were with those people, right?
Exactly. And so all of a sudden she goes, plant the seed. What was it? Don't vote for weed. Yeah. And I'm, like, thinking, oh, she's an idiot.
Was it Nancy Reagan? Did she come back?
Right. Is she back? Say no. But anyway, it's just unbelievable the stupidity that there are people, like I said in that rant that I had at the end of the meeting, that there are people that still want to wage war against a plant, even with every bit of evidence saying it's made things worse.
And not only that, but it's the NAACP, and the war on that plant has directly affected their community.
That specific plant, too.
Yes.
Like, nothing else but that plant has dramatically... It's crazy.
She should be ashamed of herself.
Yeah, she should.
I mean, literally, she should be ashamed of herself.
Did you get her name?
I didn't. I should get her name.
You should get her name.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even want to know her, but we should make her famous.
Yes. Make her famous in a bad way.
Yeah. So it's hopefully this goes on. This goes through. Supposedly they got about 20 days to get it passed before the session's over, and it would take effect in 2020. I'm not all that hopeful that it gets through because there's so much controversy behind it.
I think it'll get through, but I'm a little concerned about some of the regulations they're putting on it, and I'm a little concerned about the fact that, let's talk about Jason Spires again for a minute. If you've got a misdemeanor conviction, you can get your record expunged. But if it's a felony, even if it's a nonviolent felony, you know, you just had 10 ounces instead of one, you can't get your record expunged.
And you had a good point tonight during the meeting about this would be something you could contact your local senator about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this is the part of it. If you're going to support it, that's fine, but make sure that they know that there's people out there that are suffering from this law in the past that's needless.
And I just say this, whether your senator is a Republican or a Democrat, if they're a Republican, this is a limited government issue.
Yes.
If they don't support this, they're not for limited government, they're not for fiscal responsibility, they're what they like to call a rhino. And if you're a Democrat, you're supposed to be for civil liberties. And if you're not, well, then kind of don't represent the party's platform that they're supposed to be. We know that they don't, but, you know, there's an angle for both sides.
Precedent should have been set in many states like Colorado and stuff like that. So I wonder if there's any model they're using when they make these laws.
I think a little bit.
A little bit, but they're really flying off the cuff because they're going, we like this in Colorado, but we need to get our mitts in here.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and it's really not, this didn't work in Colorado. It's, we need to control this.
Oh, okay.
And it's all about government control.
It's Illinois.
Yeah, exactly. Of course it is.
the best we can hope for.
It's also like where the revenue is going.
Yes.
Like, let's make more social programs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we really need that instead of fixing the pension crisis.
Yeah, don't worry about the roads or anything.
Let's just talk about that.
The one thing that they challenge us on, who will build the roads? Well, not Illinois.
Illinois ain't doing that.
So let's change subjects for 1 minute, just because you guys might not have seen this, because I saw it on my way up here. You know that the state of Illinois had $1.5 billion extra come in the first quarter.
Oh, wow.
More than they were expecting.
Wow.
But they're still talking about raising taxes, and they're still talking about taxing the crap out of marijuana, and they're still talking about, hey, if we legalize marijuana and you're going to have a dispensary, we're going to charge you out the butt for a license.
Yeah, that's all I can think is it's not even be worth your time to get a dispensary. Right? Yeah.
Well, it's just like, well, I mean, for medical. How hard did they make it for medical? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Y'all done good over here?
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I think we're about to finish up.
Yeah. Go one more?
Yeah. Hey, well, that's part of the atmosphere. We're at W. Sullivan's in Peoria Heights, where we have our meeting every month, Donnie.
Yes, we do.
On the first Thursday of the month?
Second Thursday of the month.
God, why do I always screw that up?
Yeah, I don't know.
We may or may not be changing it.
We might be changing it.
That's true.
Just like the end of the podcast.
Up even more.
Regardless, it will always be at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Even though we might start a little bit later, but it always starts at 7 o'clock, so be here by 7.
So that was our fine waiter, W. Sullivan, asking if we're doing all right.
And we're doing all right, I think.
I think we are.
Yeah.
I did order another drink, but, you know, hey, we are libertarians.
Yeah. So we're definitely doing all right.
So $1.5 billion in extra revenue. Boy, what could they do with that? Maybe they could lower property taxes?
Maybe
they could pay back some of the pension funds, but guess what? That wasn't discussed.
What?
No, oh, unbelievable. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Maybe JB can put some toilets back in.
maybe, you know.
So, yeah, you know he's under investigation, speaking of state things.
I mean, it's just to the point where it's everything that they do is stupid. And so you just get to yourself, you're like, maybe they're doing it on purpose.
Sometimes I wonder that.
If he gets convicted, you know, he'll be like the fifth out of the last eight.
Yeah.
Out of the last eight governors that go to prison.
I think we
like
set
that.
A record like two governors ago. Yeah. But let's just keep this. Throw them all to jail.
We already have a record. We don't want to lose our record.
You got to pad it a little bit. Right?
Yeah. Be like Tom Brady and make it impossible to pass.
We're the goat of all time of sending governors to prison.
Illinois is more corrupt than California or New York. Is that a standard we want to maintain?
At least they have an ocean.
Actually, you know, when you put it in that context.
We're number one. We're number one.
That's a smart goal, Dana.
To become less corrupt than New York and California. Yeah,
exactly. No, we got to maintain. We got to keep it going. We got to be more.
Oh.
All right.
That is everything I got on my list. Is there any other topics you guys want to throw out there?
Let's
talk about pizza.
Yeah, don't ask me that question because I will talk
Peoria
topics
County.
All night.
Oh, the frozen pizza thing.
Yeah,
pizza.
Really quickly.
Yeah, Pizzagate.
What?
Peoria Pizzagate.
Yeah.
So this is new to me.
This is a statewide thing. It's a statewide thing.
Statewide? So go to pjstar.com. Look up Phil Luciano's article. I write a little bit about it. But it basically comes down to if you're in a bar, it's not a restaurant with a food staff or anything like that, they're outlawing the huge... basically a frozen pizza.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a staple around here.
What?
If you go to
let me clarify what they're doing. So essentially what they've done is that there's three categories of food prep. You know, one is like the extreme of like we create food and we package it. There's a second tier where you're preparing food, and then there's a third tier. Well, what they've done is they've made the rules more stringent. So one of those bars where you just throw a Butch's pizza or a frozen pizza in a pizza oven, they've said, oh, well, now you have to pay... You have to get trained, which the trainees cost a lot more money, and then you also have to have someone to supervise the person to put the pizza in the pizza oven and cut it.
So before it was costing like $10 per training.
Yeah.
Now with their category two, it's costing like $900 per employee per training.
And the labor costs.
So it's like imagine how many pizzas they're gonna have to pay just to get those people.
The CEO,
and not to mention the fact that I love Butch's Pizza, so they need to get out of my Butch's Pizza.
It's gonna affect more than just the bar itself. You're talking like Butch's Pizza is a local pizza. Come on.
The CEO already said that he's had accounts canceled from bars.
It's sickening.
It's unbelievable. How many times have we gone out, Jake, and got, you know what? We should drive home safe and have a Butch's Pizza before we go.
Hell yes.
Soak this up a little bit. You know, I mean, this is unbelievable. This is the epitome of government overreach.
And this actually reminds me, one thing we didn't discuss about the state convention was the great speech given by the Edgar County Watchdogs.
Very true.
Yeah.
Those guys were amazing. I mean, talking about all the things they do, and all you have to do is pay attention to your local government.
Yeah.
And how much overreach your local government does, and if you pay attention at all, you'll catch them on all kinds of things.
Yeah. I mean, this is just another example upon another example upon another example of government just getting in stuff that they shouldn't be.
Yeah, this pizza thing's ridiculous. I mean, and you have to wonder if that came from other business owners, like, well, it's not fair they can serve food over there.
Well, that's absolutely where it came from.
Well, and so on Facebook, I posted this on the Libertarian page. By the way, it's gotten like 3,000 hits, 3,000 views. And so this guy goes, well, that's probably a good thing. Have you ever seen
the... I think I saw it. I responded to you this morning.
Yeah, he said, you ever seen the pizza cutters they use all dirty?
Disgusting.
I was like, well, you could save us $1 billion by just not eating somewhere where your cleanliness standards aren't up to par.
Yeah, and then he said, obviously you don't understand.
You don't understand the issues. And I was like...
Obviously, he's never looked at his own kitchen.
Yeah.
I mean, we all eat at our own kitchens every day.
How long before that's illegal? To cook your own food?
Right.
Oh, my God, you served your kid fresh vegetables and didn't cook them to a certain temperature?
Let's ban pizzazzes. Yeah. I mean, they need to be banned.
They are not a typical oven.
Yes.
Yeah. George Foreman grills.
They drip too much grease. Yeah. This is unbelievable. Yeah.
Okay. It's too healthy. I do want to just quote something from the article. Okay. Is that Carrie Pinier, I'm not pronouncing your last name correct, but the County Department Director of Environmental Health, she said that no research has ever shown any documented case of an illness caused by a mishandled frozen pizza prep.
You don't say.
That's
crazy.
No shit.
Crazy talk, Dana. Really?
I just want to say that's a direct quote.
Frozen pizza and throw it in 350-degree oven.
But guys, without government, who would protect us from frozen pizzas?
You know, the craziest part about you reading that story, Dana, is that you still had enough permissions for the month to get onto the PJ
store. But I will say that, to John's point, now that the government's going to be involved, people will probably die.
Right, yeah, people will die.
People will die.
So here's, you know, in Rhode Island right now, there is a lady that donated $4,000 to her local school district to cover the cost of lunches for students that were behind on their payments. And the government decided, no, we can't take that money.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because...
Well, and if you
while we're talking about keeping people hungry.
Yeah.
And that's one of the crazy things. You know, if you know anything about the government, federal government, they, especially the federal government, they can't take anything for free.
No.
And so that just the ridiculousness of this. And I get that it's an ethics thing. They don't want someone to be able to buy government. But if you didn't have such a complex tax code and had all these things where government can give favors, you could have government give things for free, or have businesses give things for free, and you wouldn't have to worry about the corruption. But government creates the environment for the corruption.
If government didn't have so much power, people wouldn't be buying that power.
So,
oh boy,
all right.
So
that was a great place to close. Whoever brought was that you, Donnie? Brought pizza?
I think so. Man, awesome. Now I need a pizza.
All right, was it controversial? I'm not sure. I think we're at three. So. Are we three?
We're just three. Yeah, not really that controversial.
Oh, no. I can get controversial if you want.
Yeah. Let's wait till we're off.
You guys want to talk about the true PizzaGate? Then
next episode, tune in.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so that's everything I got for tonight. So if you guys are good, we'll wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up, buddy.
All right, so this is Eric Stahl sitting around the table. Next to me on my left is...
Donnie Henry.
John Phillips.
Dana Olson.
The unusually quiet tonight, Jacob Irish.
Absolutely. Remember, you can always go to libertyplays.com for more information about our group and our party, and our Facebook page, of course, is the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. And we're going to be freshening up that website, so keep an eye on that. Did we sell out of all of our tiers at the convention?
We did not sell out. We sold one.
What?
One tier. So
and it was amazing.
It was amazing.
It is the best.
It was the most delicious tiers I've ever enjoyed.
We have to come with a fresh koozie for the next convention.
Apparently, we sold
too many of those.
Just before we go, is this the Liberty Place podcast again?
I think this is
the
Liberty
Place. Liberty Place. All right, cool.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Bye.
Donnie stole my thunder.
I'm sorry.
That's it for this month's episode.
Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or libertyplays.com. We'll be back next month with more liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.